Good morning. I'm Joe Pizzacaroli. As Cindy mentioned, I'm the manager for the space systems engineering effort for the space segment of the Iridium project, but one of international renown. And together we've collaborated to talk to you a little bit about what has been an accidental, but nevertheless quite remarkable feature of the Iridium satellites, and that is that under the right conditions, with a naked eye, you can see a rather spectacular light show from anywhere on the Earth. I'll talk a little bit about the Iridium constellation itself and give you an overview of the satellite to provide a context for Paul Maley, who will talk about more of the visual aspects and show some spectacular video and slides. If any of you have been living in a cave for the last few years, you may not have heard about the Iridium system. Of course, the Iridium is the first of what may be several global low-Earth orbit satellite constellations, whose purpose is to provide users anywhere on the globe the ability to communicate, a personal global telecommunication system using handheld, very small, not much bigger than a traditional cellular telephone, as well as paging and voice messaging and data and so on. Iridium consists of 66 satellites in low Earth orbit at about 780 kilometers with some spare satellites. There are six orbital planes at a very high inclination, near polar inclination, to provide the space segment. In addition to the satellite part, which, of course, I being a satellite engineer or rocket scientist, as the public affectionately calls us, the space segment is the part that I'm more involved in. But obviously, to make the system work, there's a ground segment as well that consists of satellite control. There's a primary center in Virginia, a backup center in Rome. We have four telemetry and tracking sites, two located in Canada, one in Hawaii, and one in Iceland. And then there's a part of the infrastructure called the Gateway, which is a series of approximately a dozen sites located around the globe that tie the Iridium communications into the public switch telephone network. Obviously, if you're calling someone else who doesn't have an Iridium phone, you have to tie into the traditional phone system. And this chart just illustrates graphically what I've indicated, the space-based infrastructure providing the telephony and the routing capability, and then the ground segment providing either satellite command, control, and communications, or tying into the public switch network. One of the unique aspects of having the global reach of the Iridium system is that it truly does provide global coverage. With the geometry of the 66 satellites arranged in the six planes with 11 satellites, what you can see depicted in this chart are the overlapping footprints projected by the beams coming down from the satellites. They overlap so that at any given time, no matter where you are on the globe, at least one satellite will be overhead and enable communications line of sight. The satellite itself, what I've depicted here is what it looks like. It's stowed in a very efficient triangular pie-shaped configuration so that we can stack multiple satellites on a rocket, literally like slices of a pie arranged around the circular cross-section of a rocket fairing. For instance, on the U.S. Delta rocket, we put five satellites at a time. On the Russian Proton, we launched seven at a time. And on the Chinese Long March 2C, we launched two at a time. The satellite, it's about 3.5 meters tall. The solar rays are the predominant appendages that you see. Of interest for this particular talk are the main mission antenna panel, of which there are three, one hidden by the body. And they are of interest for the so-called flaring phenomenon because they are very highly reflective surfaces and very flat, very planar, about the size of a door, roughly about 1 meter wide and about 2 meters tall. So those antennas provide the ability, they're angled, as the diagram depicts, about 40 degrees down towards the ground, which provides a unique geometry among satellites for sunlight to come in and be projected in a beam down to the ground. Light is where many of the other antennas that talk to the ground stations, as well as the FlexLink antennas, which link together adjacent satellites for routing of telephone traffic. So again, the visual appearance of the satellite is what gives it its ability to produce these flares. You can see here seven of our satellites mated to the Russian Proton rocket. That mating is done in the horizontal configuration. The main mission antenna panels are very, very flat and very shiny. In fact, you can see the reflections of the ground technicians in the side of one of the panels. The other flat surface that you see here is a thermal control radiator that provides thermal control for the battery on the satellite. This also shows the same view of the chart I just showed you. And again, you can see this is a view on the right-hand side of the screen of the stack of satellites being lowered and mated to the launch dispenser on the Proton. And you can, in fact, see the glare of an overhead light in the room reflecting off of one of the antenna panels. So imagine the light being the sun. You can see the tendency, the potential is there for some very dramatic light reflections to be projected down onto the ground. So with that, that'll lead into Paul, who will talk more about the visual aspects from a ground observer standpoint.